Church, how are we doing today? Amen. God is good. Amen. I think that song that we just sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness, especially in the Christmas season, that really is the song of our hearts, isn't it? That we as a people, we as a church, we as Christians, no matter what is going on in the world around us, no matter what is going on in our lives, that's our anthem, isn't it? Great is your faithfulness, God. Great, whatever's going on in the world, great is your faithfulness. And we can sing that song because we have known his faithfulness to us. Amen? And when we've known his faithfulness in the past, it gives us confidence as we walk into the future, knowing that our God will be faithful. Amen? Praise God, man. Praise God. Well, I missed you guys last week. COVID stinks. It's no fun, but I'm glad to be back. Thank you guys for everyone who reached out to us and checked on us. We were good. We were fine, just a little dangerous to be around, you know what I'm saying? Which is usually what it is. I'm just a little dangerous, you know, so it's just part of my personality. But glad to be back here with you today. Thankful for great pastors like Pastor Joel was able to step up and do a fantastic job. It was just a great week, right? And so, hey, if you're new here with us today, welcome to the family. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. We are in the middle of a series walking through Advent, right? It's the Advent season, and so we're doing a series on Advent. And you might say, if you're new here, you might be saying, well, what is Advent? What's he talking about? What does that mean? Well, the Advent season is a season in the church calendar, in the church world, where we slow down and we focus on the arrival of Jesus. The word Advent literally translates to the anticipation or preparation of an important event or person. And so in the Advent season as the church, that important event is Christmas, and that important person that is arriving on the scene is Jesus. And so we're taking time intentionally during the Advent season to slow down, focus our hearts, our minds, our souls on the arrival of Jesus. And we just take some inventory. We make sure that regardless of what's going on in the world, the business of the season, that we are intentional in focusing our hearts and minds on Jesus. And so each week we have a theme. And so the first week was hope. The last week was peace. Today will be joy. And you'll notice each week we have a painting that goes along with that theme. And so we just kind of walk through it. So that's what we do. And so week one, again, was the idea of hope. And we talked about how hope, when placed in the right thing, is something that can never be taken from you. The problem that we get into as people and Christians sometimes is we place our hope in the wrong things, and that wrong thing fails us, and we lose our hope. But hope, when placed in the right thing, is something that can never be taken. And as a Christian, just like that song we just sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness, we can always have hope because we have known and know the faithfulness of our God. Amen? And last week, Pastor Joel did a great job talking about peace. Jesus as the Prince of Peace, who arrived as peace on earth and leaves us with his peace. And not only is Jesus Jesus' arrival on earth as Christ the fulfillment of hope, his arrival on earth is the arrival of peace on earth. That we can have peace with God through salvation, that he gives us his peace through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then he calls us to be peacemakers as his disciples. God is good, man. And today we talk about joy. I'm going to let y'all in on a secret. I wasn't going to tell y'all this, but I decided I would. Today is supposed to be about love. Did y'all know that? Last night we were having dinner over at Joel and Katie's house, and we're talking about the day, and they're like, yeah, tomorrow is going to be the week of love. And I was like, well, I wrote a sermon about joy. That's what COVID does to you. I literally wrote a sermon for the wrong week. So today we're celebrating joy. Amen? Amen. All right? The Bible talks a lot about joy. I'm letting y'all in on that secret, right? Sometimes we aren't perfect, right? The Bible talks a lot about joy. The idea of like joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And we meet people in this world who have joy, don't we? Like, sometimes we see people, and they're always happy, and they always have joy, right? And sometimes when we interact with those people, that brings us joy. Sometimes we interact with those people, and they annoy us. Can we be honest, right? Like, my dad was one of those people. Growing up as a kid and a teenager, he is a morning person. right? He's a morning person. And the last thing you want, if you're not a morning person, is a morning person to wake you up. Can I get an amen, right? He'd wake us up. He's like, good morning. And he would have these songs he would sing, and they just rattled. They caused me like PTSD just when I hear the songs, right? And he would just wake up, good morning to you, good morning. You're like, shut up, Dad, right? The last thing you want if you're not a morning person is a morning person to wake you up, right? The last thing you want if you're not happy in the morning is to be woken up with somebody who's happy. And so sometimes when we interact with people who are joyful, they annoy us. But the Bible talks a lot about joy. We know people who are joyful. We experience joy in our own lives. But at its core, I want to ask the question today, what is joy? For the Christian, what is joy? At its core, that idea of joy, what is it? And so today I'm going to make a big statement. If you take notes, I encourage you to write this down. You may disagree with me at the beginning, but you're wrong. We'll get there. You'll see why I'm right. Just kidding, kind of. I'm going to make this big statement. I want you to write it down. I want you to think about it. I want you to ponder it. I want you to leave here thinking about this statement. Joy. That's our theme for today. Joy is always a response. I want you to think about that. You say, what is joy? Joy is always a response. When we have joy in our lives, when we experience joy in our lives, and we're walking around with joy in our lives, it's always in response to something. It doesn't just happen, man. Like if there's somebody who's just always joyful all the time and always happy, but they ain't got a reason for it, you can't trust that person. There's something wrong with them up here. You know what I'm saying? Right? Joy is always a response to something. Think about this. What brings you joy? Beginning to ask that question, think about it. What brings me joy? What brings you joy? For me, things that bring me joy, I wrote them down. I was thinking about seeing my children happy. That brings me joy. Watching my kids play when we go to the park. Yesterday we went to the Colleyville Nature Center, and it's this great little park where you can run off and there's creeks and the kids can run and get into the creeks and just explore all over. And watching them explore the world and pick up rocks and discover new things, that brings me joy. When I tell a good joke, because I'm cheesy with my jokes, and my wife, she doesn't like just give it to me too easily. You know what I'm saying? But when I say a good joke that really makes my wife laugh, that brings me joy. It's an accomplishment. You know what I'm saying? It brings me joy, right? Spending time with friends and family brings me joy. I was thinking about moments of joy that we share together as a church. When in 2020, during the middle of a pandemic, when we bought this building, renovated it, and moved in, that first Sunday brought me joy. Looking around and seeing what God had accomplished and how God had been faithful to us as a church, that brought me joy. When we get to baptize people on this stage, that brings me joy. Amen? That's a moment of joy that we get to celebrate together. When I get to go and spend time with my community group, it brings me joy. It doesn't have to be. I know you're like, that's really deep, Mike. Well, it doesn't have to be deep. Watching the Cowboys win a game, that brings me joy. Especially because you never know, right? Like, it's few and far between sometimes. My kids have really gotten into Mario Kart on the Wii. When we win a game on Mario Kart, that brings me joy. Like literally this last week, we were playing it. We unlocked like a new venue or whatever. We're running around the house. Yeah, we got it, right? That brings me joy. But if you think about it, each example I gave us of joy, the joy that I experienced in each one of those examples wasn't just because I woke up, joy. No, each one of those things was in response to something that had happened in my life. You know what I'm saying? Something that had happened, something that occurred, something that I had accomplished, or something that had been accomplished. My response was joy, but my joy was still a response to something. You know what I'm saying? Because in life, the greatest joys we experience always comes in response to a moment, an accomplishment, a foundation in our lives, something we experience or have or hold or know that brings us joy. And so today, we're going to talk about one of the greatest moments of joy in the history of our world, probably maybe even the greatest moment of joy in the history of our world. And I want to talk about this idea of how, as Christians, the story of joy should be a foundational story for our lives, a foundational story for our lives that when we're going through hard times or difficult times or things aren't always working out, it's a foundation we hold in our lives, a foundation we have in our lives that we can continually come back to, a well that we can draw from so that we can have joy in response this foundational truth in our lives. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to read this story today, and it's known as, if you guys know, the week of joy is actually known as, another way you call it is the Shepherd's Week, because it's about this story. And so where we're going to pick up today, baby Jesus has been born, Mary and Joseph are with him, and they're celebrating him, and now it's time to tell the world. And I got to tell you, man, when you have a baby, who you tell first is important, isn't it? Like, when it's time to tell the world, when you would tell somebody about this baby being born, it's important. Like, I'll never forget, right, when we had all of our boys, but specifically my first son, Gideon, and we're sitting in there, and he's born, he's here, and I'm text messaging the people, and you gotta, right, it's the order, you gotta do it in the right order. And I'll never forget walking out into the labor, into the hospital lobby waiting room, and all the people who had been waiting there, our friends and family who had come to support us, and just walking out and saying, "He's here! He's here," and they're clapping, there's hugs, and that moment was a moment of absolute joy because it was important that I got to walk out and announce to my friends and family first, "My son is here," and then we got to share that moment of joy together. And that's where we're going to be picking up here today in the scriptures, is this moment of joy for really God the Father as well, as he gets to announce to the world, "My son is here." And that's where we're going to be, Luke chapter 2. Let's read it today. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, right? Because angel, of course you would be terrified, right? If you weren't, something is wrong with you, okay? Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news," which that word means gospel, by the way, gospel, good news, "of great joy that will be for all people. Today," and I'm going to say this over and over again, "today," not someday, "today in the city of David a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly, verse 13 says, suddenly, like out of nowhere, boom, suddenly, there was a multitude of heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." Can you imagine that moment? In your mind's eye, the shepherds are just hanging out, doing their job. They're arguing about their fantasy football teams, right? Talking about the kids. And out of nowhere, boom, angel in the sky. This angel announces the arrival of the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, that will be born for you. And then right after that, like the angel announces, there's going to be a Savior born for you today in the city of David. And then after he says that, boom, angels everywhere. Can you picture that? What is that? Like, what does that even feel like? A multitude. What is a multitude of angels? A lot, I can imagine, right? A lot. Like, have you ever had one of these moments where you go out, maybe you're just out, you know, not here in DFW because, you know, smog and lights and stuff, but you get out of here and you have one of those nights where you look up at the sky and there's just stars everywhere and you're just amazed at the beauty of just the blanket of stars in the sky. You ever had that? A couple years ago, Katie and I were camping in Oklahoma, and it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm just sitting out in the chair, just kind of hanging out. And I look up, all the boys were asleep. Katie was asleep in the tent. And I look up and I just see the sky. And it literally is just one of those moments that just, oh my goodness, takes your breath away. You ever experienced that? And you look up and you're like, there's stars everywhere. It's amazing. And I literally, it was such a powerful moment just looking at the stars. I went and woke up Katie. I woke up the boys. Why? Because I'm like, you've got to see this. And when I think of this moment, the Bible saying, and suddenly there was a multitude of heavenly hosts, that's what I think of, those moments where you're just amazed by the beauty and just the majesty of the heavens and stars everywhere and beauty everywhere and beautiful bright lights everywhere, except it ain't stars, it's angels. And I imagine this once in a lifetime moment, like a blanket in the sky filled with angels, had to be absolutely breathtaking. It was the epitome of joy. It was magical. It was special. And when I said a once in a lifetime moment, it was a once in the history of creation moment. Never to happen again. The sun is here. This will never be replicated. It is the most amazing moment in the history of our creation. Boom, the sun is here. Angels fill the sky and they're seeing glory to God. Glory to God. Oh my goodness, can you believe he's here? It's this amazing, pure moment of unbridled joy. The only way to greet the arrival of the Son of God on earth is unbridled joy. They're not going, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth. They're, boom, they're dancing, they're partying, they're celebrating. I know we don't want to move too much in church, but they are going crazy, I imagine. Because Jesus was here. Creation will never be the same. Praise God. The only way, hear this church, the only way to meet the arrival of Jesus is joy. The only way to respond to the arrival of Jesus is joy. And so what do the shepherds do? They see the angel, don't be afraid. All right, okay, this is crazy. Angels everywhere, glory to God in the highest. The shepherds are taking all this in. And one thing you'll notice is that the scripture doesn't say the shepherds were worshiping. You can go back and read it. It doesn't say the shepherds were worshiping. It doesn't say the shepherds were praising God. It says the shepherds watched the angels, and then when the angels left, the shepherds said, we got to go find that kid. Notice that? Look at it, verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem, like not stopping at the gas station. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has been made known to us. Immediately the shepherds are like, we got to go find this kid and see if this is real. We got to go find out if this is true. It doesn't say that the shepherds were worshiping. It said the shepherds responded by saying, we got to go find that kid. Remember, the angel said to them, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Why do they say that? Because they say, this will be a sign to you. This will be proof to you, shepherds, that what we're telling you is true. And so the shepherds say, we got to go find that proof. We got to go find that baby. And verse 16 says, they hurried off. Hurried off. And found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in a manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What a night for the shepherds, man. Right? Like, you got to believe, like we get so caught up in ordinary life that we forget that God does amazing, beautiful, and spiritual things in ordinary life. Verse 19, but Mary, how does she respond? It says, but Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. Verse 20, now the shepherds worship. Now the shepherds worship. The shepherds return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. So what happens? The angels see, or the shepherds see the angels, they hear the story. Bible doesn't say they worship right there. They go find Jesus. They go find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger, and then they worship. The shepherd's response to Jesus is to worship. The shepherd's response to seeing Jesus is joy, glorifying their Father in heaven, praising their Father in heaven, worshiping their Father in heaven. Their response to Jesus is joy. Why, church? Because joy is always a response to something. Again, you don't just have it for no reason. You see somebody who always has joy and is filled with joy, they don't just have it for no reason. And again, if they do, you can't trust them. The angels respond to the arrival of Jesus, unbridled joy. Mary responds to the arrival of Jesus by treasuring it up in her hearts. The shepherds respond to the arrival of Jesus by worshiping and glorifying God. The shepherds had just experienced the good news, the gospel that brings joy. Now here's my question for today, and maybe you might think this is a stupid question. And I had a professor who always said, there are no such thing as stupid questions, only stupid people. So we'll see which one this one is today, huh? But here's my question. The Bible says that the angels worshiped and praised God, and I get that. Why? Because God was here on earth, and they had been here since the beginning of time. Mary is treasuring up all these things in her hearts, and I get that, and I understand why this was an amazing moment for her. But why is it that the shepherds return glorifying and praising God? Like, what's in it for them? Why are they so excited about this? Why is it that when the shepherds experience Jesus, they don't just go, all right, another baby, we've seen those, and move on? Right? What are they so excited about with this baby, right? Why do they care? Why is their response deep in their souls to be glorifying God and worshiping God filled with joy? Why is that? Let me read it again. But the angel said to them, verse 10, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news. Again, that word is gospel. Good news of great joy. So this is literally, I'm proclaiming to you a gospel that will bring great joy for all people. A gospel that will bring great joy for all people. And you say, well, still I ask the question, why do the shepherds care? Why is this gospel going to bring joy for all people? It's in the next verse. It's in the next line. Look at it. Today, not someday. Today, not sometime in the future. Today, not hopefully it'll happen. Today, right now, in this moment, in the city of David, a Savior is born. And again, still no reason for the shepherds to care. I'm telling you, still no reason for the shepherds to care. Today, a Savior is born. No reason for the shepherds to care. Here's the line. Here's the phrase. Here's why the shepherds care. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. This is why the shepherds care. Today, in the city of David, a Savior is born for you. He's not born for somebody. He's not born for anybody. He's not born for somebody that maybe you will know one day. He is born for you. And because he is born for you, we can respond with unbridled joy. Amen? Because here's the truth. We're selfish people. Anybody in here not selfish? I dare you to raise your hand. Liar. Let me give you an example. If I walked in here and I was like, hey, guess what, guys? Somebody in our church is going to win $1 billion. $1 billion. Can you believe that? Somebody in our church just won $1 billion. You're like, good for them, right? Just wish it was me, right? I mean, come on, right? Hope they tithe, right? Here we are, right? All right. But if I walked up to you and I said, guess what? You just won $1 billion. Woo! Right? Like, I'm out of here, right? Quitting the job, getting a new house, right? You're responding to those two things very differently. The only difference is one was about somebody, the second one was about you. Amen? And so if the angel showed up and was like, hey, today in the city of David, a Savior's born and he's going to save a bunch of people, the shepherds are like, what would he stinking do? But the angel said, today in the city of David, a Savior is going to be born and he is for you. Baby, that changes everything. Amen? That changes everything. That makes the story completely different, because here's the thing. Jesus didn't come for the shepherds, church. He came for you and he came for me. Amen? And when Jesus came, he came to bring you hope. When Jesus came, he came to bring you peace. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to bring you life. Jesus is for you. And our response, River Church, is joy. Our response is worship. The response from the angels, they worship and they praise God. Mary treasures up all these things in her heart because Jesus was for her. The shepherds worship and praise God because Jesus was for them. Church, joy is always a response to something. And today I ask the question, what is our response to Jesus? What is our response to Jesus? The shepherds weren't celebrating that Jesus was born. The shepherds are celebrating because Jesus was born for them. So that they might have salvation. So that they might have peace. So that they might have hope. So that they might have life. And River Church, today those same truths are true for you and for me. That today, not someday, the Savior was born for you. My kids hate it when I say that. Not that a Savior was born for them, but someday, right? Because they'll ask me for a question, hey, can we do this? Hey, can we go here? Can we have this? And I go, well, not today, but maybe someday. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe this, right? They hate it when I put it off, right? Why? Because they know that someday means never, right? That's like, someday means no day, right? There's a difference between someday a Savior will be born and today a Savior was born, because that means today Jesus is for you. Today life is for you. Today salvation is for you. Today hope is for you. Today peace is for you. And that changes everything. Amen. God is good, man. And if we can take those truths this Christmas season, And we can understand that that foundational truth does not change. Jesus is for me. If we can take that foundational truth and realize that foundational does not change, then it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's falling apart. It doesn't matter who's sick. It doesn't matter who's in charge where. It doesn't matter what the job situation looks like. It doesn't matter what the life situation looks like. If Jesus is a Savior who was born for me, then I can walk confidently in all situations with joy because Jesus is for me. Amen? We can walk confidently knowing that that truth does not change. The gospel is for us. The Savior is for us. Peace is for us. Hope is for us. Jesus is for us. And so my challenge is this holiday season, church, we must orient our feelings around that truth. We must orient our self-worth around that truth. We must orient our joy around that truth. Jesus is for me. The Savior is for me. Not someday, but today. And as we orient our lives around that truth, our response can be joy. Our response can be worship. Because the difference between the gospel, I want you to hear this, the difference between the gospel truth that I just told you and the other things in life that bring us joy that fails us, the other things in life that we try to find joy in that don't last, is that the truth of the gospel is unchanging. The truth of the gospel is unchanging. The impact of the gospel on our lives is continual. It means it doesn't stop. The impact of the gospel of our lives is ongoing and ongoing and ongoing. It's transformative. And the hope and the peace that Jesus gives us through his birth, death, and resurrection is eternal. Amen? And that means that joy is forever. And so if we can take that truth and if we can make it foundational for our lives and to our lives, we can walk confidently in joy. If we base our lives on these foundational truths, our response can consistently be joy and worship. But we got to do like the shepherds did. The angels showed up and they said, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth towards men. Today for you in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, right? And the Prince of Peace, right? They say all this. The shepherds could have gone, that's great, I believe you, and moved on. The shepherds could have said, that's great, we can't leave the flock, man. We got to stay here. But really happy about that Savior that was born for me, right? No. The shepherds didn't do that. The shepherds said, I got to go see that baby. And here's the thing, is I can tell you about the truth of Jesus. I can tell you that there is a Savior who was born for you, born to bring you hope and peace and life and salvation. And I can tell you all about it. But unless we do and unless you do what those shepherds did, I got to go find that kid. I got to experience that baby. I got to go put my eyes on that baby so that I can experience it for real, to know that it's true. Unless you do that, me telling you this doesn't help you one bit. And here's the thing. Even as Christians, if we forget those truths, if we move away from those truths, if we walk in the Christmas season and we forget that Jesus is a Savior who was born for you, we can still lose our joy. We must, and this is where things like quiet time and spending time with the Lord and orienting our mornings around Jesus comes in so handily, because we must consistently and constantly put our eyes on Jesus so that we can remind our souls of that truth. We must consistently do what the shepherds did and put our eyes on Jesus and experience Jesus and focus our hearts and orient our hearts on Jesus so that we can know the same truths that the shepherds did. We must put our eyes, church, in this Christmas season, we must put our eyes on Jesus. Not just hearing those truths, we got to experience him for ourselves, a God who is hope in all circumstances, a God who is called peace. His name is peace. A God who is called peace, brings peace, and leaves us with peace. A God who came to this earth for you. We must consistently and constantly put our eyes on him so that we can respond in joy. Amen? Stand with me, church. You know, whether it's a good season for you, a good time for you, or a tough time, or a difficult time for you, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your heart. Make your brain tell your heart these truths. Speak these truths over your life. Speak these truths over your family. Speak these truths over your circumstance. We must fix our eyes on the truths of Jesus consistently, like we sang in that song, looking at the goodness of God in my life, looking at the faithfulness of God in my life, and then choosing to respond to those truths, that Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my peace. Jesus is a Savior who was born, not someday, today, so that I may have salvation and life and hope. And as we focus our hearts and our eyes on Jesus, may we respond like the angels. May we respond by Mary. May we respond like the shepherds, joy and worship, glorifying our God, Father, who is in heaven. God, our Father, excuse me. Because he is for us. He is for you. He is for you. And if you've forgotten that today, let me remind you, because so often we walk through this life and things get hard and things don't go the way we want and it just gets all messed up and we forget. God is for you. God loves you. God came to this earth for you. Came for you. Not for somebody, not anybody. You. For me. And that changes everything, man. That brings joy, unending joy, that a God, oh my goodness, came for me, changes everything. So church, as we worship this last time, as we have, you'll have an opportunity to take communion if you would like. They're going to pass it out. And if you'd like to just take communion there at your seat, please do. But may we orient our hearts around these truths, that Jesus is a Savior who was born for me, bring hope and peace and life and salvation. May we orient our hearts around these truths, and may we respond in joy. Amen. Let me pray for us. God, I love you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you are a God who came to bring life and salvation and peace and hope. May we experience you, and as we experience you, may our hearts, involuntarily even, may our hearts in response to you just respond in joy and worship. Because the only way to respond to the coming of Christ on earth is joy. It changes everything. It's in Christ's name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship, church. Thank you.